Welcome to the MRBC Podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
Several years ago, there were some professional ball players that were walking out of a saloon in Chicago, and they saw a crowd gathered on the sidewalk. As they looked at this crowd a little closer, they saw that there was a group of people that were playing instruments, and they were singing gospel hymns and testifying to the power of Jesus Christ to transform a life. A man by the name of Harry Monroe of the Pacific Garden Mission gave a brief gospel message that day. And at the end of Mr. Monroe's gospel presentation, one of these professional ball players was so moved by the message and so moved by the memories of his godly mother praying for him with tears that tears began to fill his own eyes. He turned to his buddies and he said, "Boys, I'm through. I'm going to turn from my sin and come to Christ. I guess it's hard for you to understand, but we've come to a parting of the ways." Now, some of the ball players mocked their friend. Others stood there stunned and in utter disbelief. That ball player discovered that his life was radically changed that day. He left his high-paying job as a professional baseball player and took a much lower-paying job in ministry. Later on, he left that ministry and became a traveling evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. Anybody ever heard of Billy Sunday? All because on that day, on the streets of Chicago, he heard some gospel music and a message by Harry Monroe of the Pacific Garden Mission. Please remember that name, Harry Monroe. What made the difference in this ball player's life? What in the world happened that would cause him to leave this high-paying job with all of the fame that went with it to follow Christ? What made a difference in this professional ball player that he became an evangelist? Well, plain and simple, he was transformed. God had made him into something brand new, something that he had never been before. God had made him into a brand new creation. The old life was gone. He walked away from it, even saying goodbye to his buddies before he left. He was changed. In Christian circles, we call that conversion. Conversion means to change one thing into another in such a way that the end result is totally unlike the original. Did you get that? To where something that exists is changed into something different, and this something different is totally unrecognizable from what it used to be. Kind of like a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. Ugly caterpillar, sometimes ugly, changing into something beautiful, and you don't even recognize the caterpillar that was there. Now, we've got to be careful that we understand that conversion is not modifying. When a caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, there are not just some minor modifications made to the caterpillar. You know, the caterpillar doesn't go from a dingy grayish brown to a bright yellow with green spots, but still a caterpillar. The caterpillar becomes something that it never was before and can never again be a caterpillar once that change takes place. Conversion is not modifying. Conversion is not adding to. Conversion is a total change. Forgive me for overusing the word, but it is a radical change. Radical means complete, total, not a spot missed. So today, I'd like for us to take a look at this idea of conversion. What is it? What is it all about? What is it that causes a man like Billy Sunday to change his ways? How and why does it happen? We're going to look at our text today of Acts 9, but before we get into Acts 9, I'd like for us to just get a running start. I want to give you some background from Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, a man by the name of Saul had launched a terrible persecution against the church. He was hunting down followers of Christ in order to punish them, to persecute them, even put them to death. One man that was affected by the persecution was a man by the name of Philip. When Saul began to persecute the church and to persecute Christians, the church scattered as the result of the persecution. But everywhere they scattered, they preached the good news of the gospel. Philip was one of them. Philip had been preaching in Samaria. Great things were happening there. People were coming to faith in Christ. I mean, it was literally a preacher's dream. And then God said to Philip, I don't want you there right now. I want you to go down to the desert road. And I want you to talk to a man from Ethiopia and tell him the good news of the gospel. And so he went. All of this took place because Saul was persecuting the Christians. And that brings us to our text of Acts chapter 9, and beginning with verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And so today, as we look at this idea of conversion, I'd like for us to take note of Paul's conversion specifically. And I want us to notice several aspects of Saul's conversion. First of all, I'd like for us to see that Saul was confronted with Christ. Confronted with Christ. Normally we would say he was confronted by Christ. And yes, he was. He came face to face with Jesus Christ. He was confronted by Christ, but it was more than that. He was confronted with all the claims of Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ had claimed to be. Everything that Jesus Christ claimed to do or that he would do. Saul was confronted with Christ. Now Saul came to the point here where he had to deal with the person of Jesus Christ face to face. He was confronted with who he is. Now I want you to note verse 3 that we just read, that Paul was traveling along the way, minding his own business, when suddenly he was confronted with a person of Christ. You see, Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to go to the synagogues there, and he was going to look for anyone that was a follower of Jesus Christ, and he had letters saying that he could arrest them and bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem, put them on trial, persecute them, maybe even put them to death. And he was just on his way there, minding his own business, when suddenly he was surrounded by a light. This light was all around him, a light that blinded him. Paul had to deal at that moment with Jesus Christ and who he is. He was confronted with Christ. Let's read on, verse 4 if we could. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Not only was he confronted with Christ, but we see he was also convicted of his sin. Convicted of his sin. Not only was Saul forced to come face to face with the person of Jesus Christ and who he is, but he was also forced to come face to face with his own personal sin. He couldn't escape it. There's no way he could deny it. Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul knew that he was persecuting Jesus. By persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. He was opposing the Christ, the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for. Saul knew that he had been sinning against God. He was confronted with Jesus, and now he is convicted of his sin. I wonder if at this moment Saul was recalling the testimony that Stephen shared that day when he heard Stephen preach and as Stephen boldly faced martyrdom. I wonder if Saul was recalling the role that he personally had played in the death of Stephen. Paul later recalled in Acts chapter 22 and verse 20, And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I mean, Saul understood the full weight of his sin. Not only did he know that, yes, Lord, I have been persecuting you, but he also knew that when Stephen spoke that day, when Stephen shared the gospel that day, Paul knew that he personally had given consent to his murder, to his martyrdom. He even held the coats of the guys that carried out the execution. Saul may not have understood the full weight of his sin that day, but there's no way that he could deny that he was a sinner. Saul was still forced to face fully his sin. Saul was a sinner. Saul now knew that he was a sinner. Saul knew that he had been opposing God. He'd become an enemy of God. Now think about this. What Saul did, he did because he thought he was doing God a favor. What Saul did by persecuting the believers, he did because he was doing it for Jehovah in his mind. He was getting rid of these heretics that were spreading false doctrine about this Jesus who claimed to be the Christ. Saul was a very religious man. You didn't get any more religious than Saul. He was at the top of the heap when it came to the Jews. He called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law inside and out. What he did for God as a religious man. But on this road to Damascus, when he comes face to face with Jesus Christ, and then he's forced to come face to face with his own sin, Saul knew that he was wrong, that he was a sinner, that he had become an enemy of God. And this morning, if we're really honest, truth be told, every human being that has ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has been or is an enemy of God. Our sin has separated us from God. Our sin has caused us to be an enemy of God. Let's read on in our text, Acts 9. Drop on down to the latter part of verse 19, if you would. Acts 9, the latter part of 19. And when Saul had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and let him down by the wall in a basket. So we see that Saul was confronted with Christ. Saul was convicted of his sins. And now we see that Saul was changed. He was changed. He has a new master now. When Saul was confronted by Jesus, when Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul answered, Who art thou, Lord? Did you catch that? Who art thou, Lord? He has a new master. He has a new Lord. Saul is in a new family now. He's got new friends. I find this really interesting. His old enemies are now his new friends. And his old friends are now his new enemies. His old friends, the Jews, they are now conspiring to kill him. They want to get rid of him. Maybe even some that he'd actually had led. He was once their hero. Now he's their target. But those that he had once vehemently persecuted are now his allies. And they're helping him. This change. New master, new family, new friends. His old enemies are his new friends. His old friends are his new enemies. This is all evidence of Saul's conversion. Saul no longer fit in with his old group. He couldn't run with the old crowd. Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul, was living evidence of 2 Corinthians 5:17. That says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new family, new allegiances, a new master. So here's Saul on this desert road. Road to Damascus, blinded by this light that shone around him. And God tells a disciple by the name of Ananias to go to Saul. He instructs him to place his hands on Saul that Saul might receive his sight back after having been blinded by the light. But Ananias is scared. He had heard stories about Saul. Saul's reputation had definitely preceded him. Ananias knew that Saul had harmed many Christ followers. And he was scared to have anything to do with him. But notice verse 15, Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So, not only was Saul confronted with Christ, not only was Saul convicted of his sins, not only was Saul changed, but we see that Saul was chosen for service. The Lord said, "He's my chosen instrument. I personally have chosen Saul. I want to use him. I have a plan. I have a purpose for Saul." God revealed that he wanted Saul to serve him. Now, folks, any one of us that has been converted to Jesus Christ, any one of us that's had a life transformed by Jesus Christ, has been called to serve. We all have been. Every believer has been chosen for service. Every believer is to be a minister. You say, "Well, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't volunteer for service. I just wanted the forgiveness part. That eternal life part sounded really good. That's all I signed up for. I just wanted my ticket to heaven. I wasn't signing up for any of the service stuff." Every believer, every true believer is chosen by God to serve. A Christian businessman who had learned that trials can accomplish God's purpose in his life remained cheerful even though he was going through some very deep waters and seemed like he was suffering one catastrophe after another. First, his son was injured in an automobile accident. Then his daughter married a man of questionable character. And finally, he lost the lease on the building where his business was housed. But he wasn't shaken. He wasn't wiped out by these losses. He told his friends that these difficulties were signs that God had confidence in him. Did you get that? He told his friends that all these difficulties were evidences that God had confidence in him. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, back when I was in the army, my sergeant was always choosing me for the dangerous duties. I didn't like that. I thought, why doesn't he pass it around a little bit? Let somebody else take a dangerous mission. Why do you give me all the dangerous missions?" And then one of his buddies said to him, "You don't understand. He picks you because he trusts you. He would not risk the lives of the whole outfit on just anyone. He trusts you." The businessman said, "From then on, I viewed my difficulties in a different way. From then on, I have viewed my hardships as a pat on the back from the Lord." Well, Saul was chosen for service. And if you know much about Saul or the Apostle Paul's life, you know that he suffered many hardships. Shipwreck, being scourged, being within an inch of his life. Not knowing what would happen to him. Put in prison. He understood what it was to have hardships in service. But I think Paul, like this businessman, viewed his hardships as God's confidence in him, that God trusted him. A pat on the back from the Lord. Let's read on. If you could jump back up to verse 20, on down to verse 20. Acts 9, verse 20. And straightway, Saul preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. We see here now, Saul confessed Jesus as the Christ. He confessed Jesus as the Christ. Now there's something interesting here, and I want you to really catch this. If you look at these five points, these five aspects of his conversion, the first four are passive. Passive means something that happens to us, not by us. He was confronted. He was convicted. He was changed. He was chosen for service. In other words, the first four are things that God did. Saul had nothing to do with them. Saul played no part in the first four. But the fifth one is active. This is something Saul did. He confessed Jesus as the Christ. It was something that he chose to do. Something that he himself did. Now, I'm sure that he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul never operated out of his own strength, or at least we don't see him operating out of his own strength. But this was something that Saul did. He confessed Jesus as the Christ. When? Immediately after he came to faith in Christ. I mean, just within days, he's confessing Jesus as the Christ. Where? In the synagogues. Why? Why did he confess Jesus Christ in the synagogues? Because that's where the lost people were. These lost Jews who did not believe that Jesus was the Christ gathered at the synagogues. And so Paul went to the synagogues to confess that Jesus is the Christ. And what was it? What was it that he confessed? Jesus. The one that I had persecuted, the one that I had despised, the one that was crucified by my people, the one that we as Jews rejected is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah. He confessed Jesus as Lord. Saul's life was changed. No doubt about it. Saul couldn't have gone any farther the one way, denying the Christ, getting rid of anybody who taught that Jesus was the Christ. Paul could not have been any more involved, meant any more enthusiastic about what he was doing than he was. And one moment on the road to Damascus and his life has changed, and now he is fully committed to Jesus Christ. He could not be any more committed to what he was doing than he was. He went from one extreme to the other. Why? Because he was converted. He was changed. Years ago, a man came to Chicago after being released from prison in Detroit, having served time on counterfeiting charges. His life was a mess. He was distraught and depressed. He decided the only rational thing to do was to end his life. He thought he would just walk out into Lake Michigan and keep walking until he was gone, dead. He planned to commit suicide. But somehow, we know how, but somehow he wandered into a place called the Pacific Garden Mission, a rescue mission in Chicago. And he was approached by the preacher at the end of the service. And that day, this man responded to the Savior, and his life was radically changed. His name was Harry Monroe. Remember that name? The man that was preaching the day that Billy Sunday heard the message and got saved. And that day at the Pacific Garden Mission, with suicide on his mind, Harry Monroe gave his life to Christ. Committed his life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was changed. Harry Monroe was the guy that came up with the idea of what he called the gospel wagon. This was a tool, a portable wagon that they could push around and be set up almost immediately to do street evangelism. And it was the gospel wagon that was on that street that day that Billy Sunday came out of the saloon. Was captured by the music and then convicted by the message and converted by the Savior. Harry Monroe was changed. And as the result, Billy Sunday became a called, chosen, changed child of God. How about you? How about you? Do you know the Savior? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you experienced whole life radical transformation in your life? Are you a child of God? Or are you like Saul before his conversion? Are you an enemy of God? You say, well, preacher, I'm not an enemy of God. I mean, sure, I've sinned a little here and there. We all have, but I'm not an enemy of God. Well, you're right. We've all sinned. But the Bible says, because of that, we are all enemies of God. Unless and until Jesus Christ does a work in our lives.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.